yourself, but you can have to say.
We left us last week in Chulin, Gemara Chulin, Daf Tes, Amud Aleph. The Gemara had quoted the memra of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that whenever you shecht the behemah has a cheskas iser. Before you shecht it, it was asa b'achila. Rashi always says it's asa mitam eiv menachai, and Tosis always disagrees. It's not yet an eiv menachai till you detach the limb from the animal. Behemah v'chayef, all the organs are still attached. Lav leivor meman, it's not considered eiv menachai. So Tosis interpret behemah v'chayef has a cheskas iser, eino zvucha. It's a lav abo mechlal asei. The pasuk says v'zavachta v'achalta. You should shecht and then you're allowed to eat. If you don't shecht, then you're not allowed to eat. So it's an iser asei. So whichever the pshat is, Rav Huna says daftesim and alas. Rav Huna says whenever you shecht the behemah and there's a suffix whether you did the shechita properly or not, so it's becheskas iser. So we don't, whenever you have a suffix, so we say suffix deraisa luchumra. Suffix deraisa luchumra, you don't get malchus. It's a suffix, so you're not allowed to do it, but you don't give an einish. But if it's behemah b'chaya b'cheskas iser yishtel after chazoke, so now we pass kenois that it's a vaday nevela, so whoever will eat it will get malchus. The chazoke, that's called chazoke de meikor. It used to be yosef for sure. Now we have a suffix whether we did a proper shechita or not. So yishtel of chazoke. It goes back to the original chazoke. According to Rashi, you can't say that it's a vaday eiv menachai. It's a vaday iser. While it was alive, it was also for one reason, for reason A, Eiv Menachai. Now it's a question whether it's also mitam nevela. So Rashi says, Yishtalab chazok echeskas iser. Not the same iser from before. Now that it's dead, for sure it's not an Eiv Menachai. But it's becheskas iser. So the Gemara quotes it again, about 12 lines from the bottom of the Amud. The line begins with the words, Gufa Amar Rav Huna. They're quoting again. They quoted the Memor Rav Huna earlier. They're going to quote it again in order to analyze a little further the lashon that Rav Huna said. So Rav Huna said, "Deheiman b'chayev b'cheskisis ames ad sheivor alach b'ameh nishchato, until you know for sure that you shechted it properly. Nishchato, once you shechted it, is b'cheskas heter ames. You know that when you shechted, you shtel af cheskas heter ad sheivor alach b'ameh nitrof. Unless you have a suffix, if you have a suffix, whether it's a treifa." So we assume rov behemus ksheri saying we have the right to assume it's how do you milk a cow and drink the milk? Maybe the animal is a trefa. I know it's not a pig. I know it's not an elephant. It's a cow. But if the cow is a trefa, so also you're not allowed to drink the milk.
What if you find out later, afterwards, up until that point you consider it a good cow, but now the chef they found the trefa. All the previous milk becomes
right.
What happens?
That's a big discussion in Shulchan Aruch based on the Tosfos on the first daf in Nida, Maseches Nida. It's a rush later over here also, another two dafim. So Tosfos says the milk that you have, you probably drank the milk. Milk is going to get spoiled. They didn't have any refrigerators.
Cheese.
So that's what Tosfos says. I milked the cow and I made cheese, and then I have the cheese 6 months later, and now I shech the behemah and I see it has trefus. So what kind of a trefus is it? Is it a trefus that it was always like that? Then the cheese is also. If it's a trefus that developed later in life, so do you have the right to assume that the behemah was not a trefus years ago and developed the trefus after I milked it to make the cheese? Do you have a right to postpone the change till as late as possible or not? So that's a big machlekes in Tosfos. We're going to get to it on Daf Yud Aleph, I think. It's going to come up here. Yep. Okay. So the Gemara wants to know, why did Rav Huna use the expression nishchato, once you shechted? He should have said nishchato, and there's a suffix treifus, you assume based on right, that right behemus ksher is saying. He doesn't say that, he says nishchato, it's becheskas heter emeres, it's becheskas heter. What do you mean becheskas heter? Zog nishchato hutro, ash ivar alach b'men nitrofa, unless you know bevada that it's a treifa. Because we don't know one way or the other, you go basarayv. He doesn't say you go basarayv. It's a funny lotion. Nishchata, once you shech the animal, is becheskas heter emetis, unless you know bevada that it's a treif. Freg digmo, what kind of a lotion is that? Velema, zola zogn, let Rav Huna say nishchata hutra. Once you shech it, it's mutter, and if you have a suffix, if it's a treif, you go basarayv. Right? He doesn't say that. What does he use the expression becheskas heter? Becheskas Heter means the same thing. The Prima Godim has a hakdama to Torah Shebal Peh. It has a whole introduction to Torah Shebal Peh. It's called the Psicha HaKolelis to Orach Chaim. But it's not the general introduction to Orach Chaim, it's a general introduction to the whole Torah Shebal Peh. So in the middle of that, he talks about a lot of things. Roiv Chazaka, all kinds of things. So he points out that the term Chazaka appears in the Gemara in many different places with many different meanings. For example, here, it means status quo. I know that yesterday, before I shechted it, I had a cheska sisar. Either a cheska sisar, ein manachai, according to Rashi, a cheska sisar, ein hezvucha. So that means yishtelaf, status quo. Whatever. If it was muta yesterday, you have a suffix. If it became osir, so you say, it's still muta. If you know it was osir yesterday, you don't know if it became muta, yishtelaf chazaka. So that's called chazaka de meikorah. Then there's another chazaka, I want to sell you a field. So I say, I want to give you a field, but matana, I want to sell. So I say, make a kinyan chazaka. How do you make a kinyan chazaka? I say, put up a fence, or unlock the door, or dig a little bit. So make a kinyan chazaka. No al gadar aparatz. Mishnah says, that's a kinyan chazaka. Then there's another chazaka, cheska sabata mishaloshanim, which has nothing to do with this. Cheska sabata means I'm living in a house, I'm living on a field, for more than 3 years, and I claim that I bought it from the original owner, and he can prove that he's the original owner. He has the cheskas marakama. He has documented evidence. All the neighbors know he used to own it, and I don't have any evidence that I bought it. I claim that I bought it. If I just claim squatter's rights, I moved in and nobody complained, so does an ishken taina. That's called chazoka she'eni mataina. So I have no right to stay there. He can throw me off the field. Because he has the cheskas marakam, he can prove that it used to belong to him. But if I claim that I bought it from you and I don't have any evidence, then the Mishnah says it's a takanam de rabbanon. If I can prove I was living there for 3 years, so that and the marakama didn't complain, so that's called cheskas habatim. So that's a different din. Cheskas habatim is accomplished through achilas peiros. I'm living in the house and I'm using the field. That's a different kind of chazaka. Then it's chazaka ein onim pareh toch zmana. Let's say I come to you and I say, I bring evidence that I lent you $1,000 for a month and I want you to pay back. And you say you paid back the day after you borrowed the money. You paid back 2 weeks after you borrowed the money. So I say, that's ridiculous. When I lent you the money, you had a whole month to go. You had 2 years to go. People don't pay back in the middle. So the Gemara says that it's such a strong ruba delesa kamon that Gemara calls it chazaka. Chazaka ein onim pareh toch zmana. It's highly unlikely. And then what kinds of chazakas? The word chazaka appears in the Gemara, many different meanings. Here, Rav Huna uses the Losh Nishchata, the animal is becheskas heter, means you go basarayv, the roi behemus ksherisein. But why does he use that Losh in becheskas heter? Zalazak, nishchata hutra. And if you don't know if it's a trefa, you use the ruba delesa kamon. Why does he choose to use the term becheskas heter? What is he driving at? What does he have up his sleeve? Then instead of saying rob behemus ksheiris, that's how the Gemara is going to say later. How do you know you got basarayv? So the Gemara says, because the Torah says you shech the behemah, you don't know whether it's a trefa. It'll take you days and days to check every possibility of a trefa. You got basarayv, the rob behemus ksheiris. That's how we know that you got basarayv. So why does Rav Huna use the losh in becheskas heter? So the Gemara, it must be hokamashmalon. The line begins with the word kamashmalon. Must be the Rav Huna use the loshen becheskas heter to drive at the following. The afal gaf is yalid bar reisa. Reisa means there's a latest asafik, maybe the animal is a trefa. Have grounds for suspicion. If shecht an animal, you don't know one way or the other, so you go basarayv, right? Behemoths are not trefas. But if you have grounds to suspect that the raglaim ledover, that the animal is a trefa, so then Rav Huna has to introduce this expression. It's once you shecht the animal, it's becheskas heter. It's such a strong raiv that raiv behemus ksher is saying, even if you have a latest asafik, you ignore it. Yishtalaf techeskas heter. For example, avagab dishala bereise, even though there's room to suspect that maybe it is a trefa. Kidiboy minei, rababa miravuna. One of the chachamim asked Ravuna the following shaila, what's the din? I shecht an animal, ubozeiv, comes a fox, v'notal b'nei me'ayim. And he grabs the kishkas, the intestines, and he runs away with it. So they asked Rav Huna, what's the din? What do you mean, what's the din? What's the shaila? So the Gemara says, If there's a nekev in the bnei, if there's a nekev in the lungs, it's a treifa because it's going to die sooner than normally. If there's a nekev in the bnei meyayim and the kishka is also going to die, that's also a treifa. But if you don't know if there's a nekev, so what's the shayla? What's the din if a fox came and he grabbed the intestines and he ran away? So the Gemara says natal, he grabbed it holisneu. You don't have any kishkas, so there's nothing to discuss. What's the shayla? Of course, you go basaroi, brought behemus aksheira saying. You drink the milk while the animal is alive on the assumption that roi behemus aksheira. So why not the same thing? Elazak demar name. The shayla is like this. Bozev, a fox came, v'nikev b'nei me'ayima. What's the din if a fox bit into the kishkas and he made a nekev in the kishkas? The Gemara says, what's the shayla? A nekev in the bnei meyayim, a nekev in the kishkas is a treifa if the nekev was while the animal was alive. Right. Here we shechted it, we cut it up to pieces, we have the kishkas sitting over here. And then a fox comes and he bites into the kishkas, doesn't make it a treifa.
Before.
Huh?
A hole before.
I mean, it made a hole while it was still alive.
There was a hole in it before, and the fox made another.
Oh, so you don't know if it has a hole. You don't know. So the Gemara says, what was the shaila that they asked? Rabbi asked the shaila of Ravunet, boy mine. What was the shaila? Notal, if he just, the fox grabbed the bnei meyayim and ran into the forest, he ran away with the kishkas. So what's the shaila? You don't know if the animal is a treifa. Of course it's not a treifa. You say, Rabbi Kshere saying. What's the shaila? Ela, nikev bnei meyayim mahu. The shaila was if the fox bit into it. The Gemara says, nikev. The fox bit in after you shechted it, ready, hokachazina dehu nikvinu. We saw with our own eyes that the fox made the hole after the animal was geshacht already. It didn't have a hole while it was alive. Elazag digmar name. The shayla is like this. The fox ran away with the kishkas, and then he brought it back. Wants the money back. He brought it back, and it's full of holes in the kishkas. So that's the shayla. Do we have the right to assume that the fox made all the holes with its teeth after the shechita? Or do we have to be concerned? Maybe there was some, we see so many holes, maybe one of the holes was there while the animal was still alive. That's the shayla. Mahu. Michashin, and do we have to be concerned? Shemba b'makam nekev, nikev. Do we have to be concerned? Maybe there was already a nekev in the bnei meyayim, and the animal was a treifa mechayim, and the fox was biting to make additional holes. But one of those holes was there, mechaim, and a nekev in bnei meyayim is a treifa. Oiloi, maybe you don't have to be concerned, because here there is a reis, that there's a latest asav. Ro behemis ksheris, if you don't know one way or the other. But here I see a nekev. So a nekev, the bnei meyayim is a latest asav, but I have what to be toila on. I know that the fox grabbed it and it was missing for a couple of hours, then he brings it back. So do you go basarai or not? Amalei, so Ravuna answered the shayla. Ravuna is the one who is speaking here. We're trying to understand the statement that Rav Huna made. This originally Rav Huna. He says, Becheskas heter. So they want to know why he used the funny lotion, Becheskas heter. What he means is that you go basarayv. Like Chazok and Anam Pereh Toch Zbanoi. Chazok over there means a ruba de leisa come on. Chazok a shlichos a shlichusai. Let's say. A whole Gemara in Erevin we learned, I think. We learned that Gemara. The Gemara has a Shaila. I want to go Chutz L'Tchum. I'm not allowed to go Chutz L'Tchum on Shabbos and Yantim. So I gave someone a box of matzahs or a jar of pickles or a jar of tuna fish, whatever. And I asked them, please place the Erevei Tchumen over there so I'll be able to walk Alpai Mama past it. Or please make an Erevei Chatzeris in the building so we'll all be allowed to carry. And I didn't have a chance to call a guy up to find out whether he did the shlichus or not. So the Gemara has a discussion. Do you have the right to assume chazake shalichos or shlichusoy or not? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, if it's only an issue, the Rabbanah, like going chutz letchum, by carrying in a chutz shenim or rebbes, then you rely on chazake shlichos or shlichusoy. What do you mean? What does the word chazake mean? It's not a chazake in a mekor, status quo. Chazaka means Aruba Delay said, come on, Aruba Delay, I have a right to assume. I asked him to take care of something, and he's a responsible individual, and he said he's going to take care of it. He never got back to me. We don't have any cell phones. Bismarck Gemara, you don't have any telephones. You have no way to communicate. So if it's a din derabbanan, you have a right to rely on the Chazaka, Shlichos, or Shlichus. If it's an issue deraisa, then the Gemara says, you should not rely. Taisa says, it's a chumra mid derabbanan. that if it's an issue deraisa, you shouldn't rely on chazaka shliachos shluchus. Min haTorah, it's a ruba deleisa kamon chazaka that he did take care of it. So they were machmim and the rabbanu with respect to it. Then deraisa, you shouldn't rely on this ruba deleisa kamon.
When the animal returns the intestines, why do we say it's a sphinx bank? Or maybe it's the intestines of a different animal, not the one that you shepherded now.
Yeah.
And even if it's the same animal, maybe there was no home in it when the animal was alive. This animal made a home.
Yeah, it probably means you do identify it. I can tell that these are the intestines that the cut fits in with this animal. Probably is.
When you quoted Tosas before about swearing ka'achila, then it's only in the Rabbanan. Is it also here, all of the shilas here in the Gemara, that pointed Tosas would only be in the Rabbanan, or only if you weren't bodeg and if you shechted rov of simanim?
The previous, what we learned last week, Tosas said that's also only in the Rabbanan, yeah. Because rov pamim shechet shaper, yeah.
So would that include all the other
shaylas
here in the Gemara, or no?
No, this is a real shayla deraisa. I see now a nekev in the Bnei Meiyim. I don't know whether it's Mechai Malach Amisa. So you ought to say Safik deraisa l'chumra. But on the other hand, it's not a Safik, because the Roi Behemoth Aksheris. But there's a nekev, but I have what to be told in the nekev on. I know that the fox walked off with it, so it's very easily understandable. The fox must have been nibbling on it. So that's the Gemara Shaila. Is this a Sveika deraisa l'chumra? Because I have a latest hasafik. A reisa means a latest hasafik. I have a latest hasafik. There is a nekev in the Bnei Meiyim.
Didn't he have that thing by Shiva also? The nekev in Mark and Nekev, he shafted. In other
words,
the hole that you see now was before.
And
you had that before, no?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. It's going to come up again on the next daf, yeah. So this is what they asked Ravuna. What's the din if an animal, a fox, grabbed the Bnei Meiyim and it brought it back and it has full of holes now? You don't know whether the holes were there Mechayim and the animal is a trefor. The holes were made Lachar Shchita and it's not a trefor. That was what they asked Ravuna. Mechashin Sheba Makam Nekev Nikev. Do you have the right to assume? Should I be choshed? Maybe there were Nekovim there before the axe bit, before the fox bit into it. Oiloi? Or no, you should go Basarayv. Or Malay, so Rav Huna answered, that's where Rav Huna formulated the statement in such an awkward fashion. Ein choshishim shemem makam nekev nikev. You don't have to be worried about it. Why? Because nishchato becheskas heter. Becheskas heter means, ishtel after chazoke, even though there's a reyesa. He doesn't just say, roi behemus ksheris. Roi behemus ksheris, he can say, but if I see there's a reyesa, maybe there's no longer a raiv. Maybe the Rebbe is only if you don't know one way or the other, but if I see there's Bnei Meiyim with an Ekev, maybe the Rebbe doesn't apply this. So he says, no, Nishchato Becheska Seter. It's such as...
What if it would have been a lung, not Meiyim?
Same thing.
No, lung you have is Bishriya. You have another problem. That's why we inspect lungs.
No, that's just... You have to be Baidik, the lungs made the Rabbanan. When you have a Miyut HaMotzeh, Minatari still have a right to go Basaroi. But because Sirchan, the lungs... is a miyut hamotzui, so they were machmim with the rabbanon. That's the Ramban has that. They were machmim with the rabbanon that you have to be bodek the lungs whenever possible. Let's say you shech the behemah and you want to check the lungs, and comes a fox and grabs the lungs and it disappears. So you have no brera, you can't check the lungs. So the din is that it's mutter. There's a choiva with the rabbanon lechatchila to be bodek the lungs if it's possible. It's not possible you go vayte, you go basarayv. The rayv is that rayv behemis aksherisayim. So the Gemara says, that's Rav Huna used this funny lashon. Becheskas heter, that even if you have a latest hasafik, it's still lahakil, it's still galakula. Freg the Gemara kasha esve, he asks him back a kasha. Rababa was not happy with Rav Huna's answer that you make. So freg the kasha, you're not worried. I found a whole bunch of holes. And you're not worried, maybe some of the holes were there before the fox bit into it. Frekta, we have a Mishnah, a Tosefta. We have a Tosefta. Rod, Sipor, Hamanaker, Bita Eino. I have some figs. And there's a bird pecking away. And I chase away the bird. I want to eat the figs. And I see there are holes in the figs. So, or Achbor, Hamanaker, Babatichim. What are Abatichim? What are mountains? Okay, good. So I see that there's a mouse pecking away at a watermelon. I chase away the mouse and I see there are holes there in the watermelon. So do I have the right to assume that all the holes in the figs, in all the holes in the watermelon, are from the tzipor and from the achbar? So there's no problem. Maybe it's not so
edible,
clean, but the guy's not worried about that. Or maybe you have to be concerned, maybe a snake bit into it. In the days of the Gemara, it's very common. They lived on farms, and there were snakes all over the place. And some of the snakes would nibble on things and spit out poison. So do you have to be concerned that maybe there was a snake that spit in some poison? Because I see a lot of holes from pecking. So do you have the right to attribute all the holes to the tzipor who is menaker and to the achbar who is menaker? Or do you have to be concerned that maybe there was some hole there before from a snake and maybe it has poison in it? It's similar, sakonas nefashis. So it's similar to the shayla here. The fox grabbed the bnei me'ayim and brought it back, and I see a whole bunch of holes. Do I have the right to assume all the holes were made by the fox? So maybe I should be concerned. Maybe there's one hole that was there from before I shechted the animal. Maybe it's a trefa. So Rav Huna said, you don't have to be worried about that. Here, Rav Abba quotes a Tosefta, and it says, you do have to be worried. You shouldn't eat, it's a sakonas nefoshes. You shouldn't eat the watermelon, and you shouldn't eat. We live in a city, we don't have any snakes, and they're not spitting any poison, so the whole din doesn't apply. The whole din the Gemara is going to have on the next daf. You're not supposed to drink my megulim, water that was uncovered, or wine that was uncovered, or milk, because maybe a snake came by and spit in some poison. So bismanazet doesn't apply. In the early 1800s, when the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon went on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, so one of the Talmidim wrote the Hilchas Eretz Yisrael. So he wrote, in Eretz Yisrael, it's not like in Vilna, it's not like in Poland, it's not like in Litva, they have snakes all over, you're not allowed to drink my megulim, you're not allowed to, all these dinim apply back again. And that depends where you live in Eretz Yisrael. So you live in a city, so you don't see any snakes. So all of these things don't apply anymore. But Bizman HaGemar, this was a real chashash. Apparently, yes. Yeah. You always have to be concerned. It's not a religious ritual mitzvah. You're not allowed to put your life in the sakana. So you may be eating poison. So the Tosefta says, even you know that an animal was pecking away, and you can attribute all the holes to the mouse or to the bird, but you have to be concerned. Maybe one of the holes was there from before. Maybe a snake bit into it. So why is Rav Huna so cavalier? Why is he so over here? You don't have to worry about the... Maybe it's a trefa. Zokta Tzirik, so Rav Huna says, what's Vatzushtel? What are you comparing sakonis nefashis with Isa Veheta? Miko medamis yisur l'sakanto. How can you make a dimion? There's no tzushtel between Isa Veheta and sakone. Sakone shayini. Sofik sakone. Of course you have to go l'chumer. Sofik sakone. The Gemara says in the end of Yuma, let's say, for example, a person takes sick on Shabbos. The roiv is, he's so sick, I'm a doctor. The roiv is, he's going to die even if we drive him to the hospital. The roiv is, he's going to survive even if we don't drive him to the hospital. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to go bus the roiv in sakonas nefashis. If there is a slim chance that maybe by driving him to the hospital, he may save his life, you have to be mechallel Shabbos. Because of that slim chance, unless it's so far fetched, it's utterly ridiculous. Echad mini elef alfi alofim. So then the Chasam Sefer says, one chance in a million to save his life, or one chance in a million that he's going to die. So people are not concerned about such a far fetched suffix sakana. How do you draw the line? Which suffix sakana they say lahocha bebikoch nefasha sachar harayv? You're not allowed to rely on rav. You have to be mechallel Shabbos even for the slight possibility. And when they say it's ridiculous, so that's what all the poskim say, it depends whether a normal person is nervous or not. If the patient is nervous, then it's called the suffix sakon. Unless it's so far fetched that the patient is butler dietates, so that's called bani odom, so you just give him a tranquilizer. Tell him to calm down. But let's say 1% suffix sakon, 1% normal, a lot of normal people would be concerned. Other people will not be concerned. So if it's 1% suffix sakana, so then it depends whether he's nervous or not. If it's, let's say, it's It's 15% suffix takana. You have no right to say, I'm not nervous, I'm not worried. What do you mean? 50% suffix takana. You should be nervous about it. And if it's 0.1%, then it's ridiculous. They have to, so if the guy's nervous, you just give him a tranquilizer. You're not allowed to be mechalal shamus. But if there's a range, well, we say it depends on this particular chayla. If he personally is nervous, then it's called suffix sakana. If he's not nervous, then it's not called suffix sakana. That's what they... The Chazon Ish moved to Eretz Yisrael in the 30s. And then the Nazis, in the middle of the war, they wanted to take over Eretz Yisrael. So that's when they started losing. So there was a period of time in the middle of the Second World War that they were dropping bombs. I remember when I was a little baby, so they used to have air raids in America. That was just practice. So you had to turn off the lights at night because they didn't have radar. So the only way the German planes were nowhere near America, but it was all practice. So for the practice, you had to turn off all the lights in the house so that if there would be a German plane on above, they wouldn't see where the people live. So what do you do if it's Friday night? That's only practice, so you're not allowed to turn out the lights. So my father was an Orthodox rabbi, so he didn't turn out the lights. So the police would knock on the door, and they'd give you a fine for leaving on the nights, the lights. So it happened a few times on Shabbos. Sometimes my father got away with it. He explained to the policeman, he's an Orthodox rabbi, you're not allowed to turn off the lights unless there's a real sakana. And this is only practice, and sometimes he didn't get away with it, so they made him pay the fine, okay? So they say that they asked the Chazon Ish, they have in the biography the Chazon Ish, that they asked the Chazon Ish, what's the din in a village in Eretz Yisrael? And they hear the siren went off faintly. They hear from a distance, very far away, many miles away, they hear a siren went off. Means that over there, on Friday night, they're having a blackout because they're afraid they're going to drop bombs there. Are we allowed to turn off the lights over here? So the Chazon Ish said, Chazon Ish said that they say that the Chafetz Chaim once visited Lodz, and he stayed there for a while. Chafetz Chaim died in, what, 35 or something? 33. Earlier?
33.
So, but there was anti-Semitism was building up. So he stayed there for a few hours. So two balabatim came to ask the same shiloh that they were Shomer Shabbos and they had a job and they didn't really make enough parnasa to put away money and savings. So they wanted to know, are they allowed to take a job to be Mechal Shabbos so they'll be able to put away money and savings so when the time will come that the anti-Semitism will build up so much, they'll have money to buy a ticket to take a train to save their lives. Is that called the suffix sakonis nefoshes? Because right now there's no suffix sakonis. It could be that even putting away the money is not going to help, and maybe they won't need it. Everything is very iffy. So the Esther Chafetz Chaim, when he visited Lodz, so they were about an hour apart from each other. So to the first balabas, he asked him, are you personally nervous about it? Do you think that you stand the chance of saving a life by putting away, by being Mechal Shabbos and saving the money, putting away? So he told the Chafetz Chaim, he thinks it's a joke. He thinks either they're going to kill him or they're not going to kill him. But that's what people say. Maybe it should be Mechal Shabbos. So the Chafetz Chaim told him, if you personally are not nervous about it, you don't think that this is going to save your life, you don't think there's a chance that this is really going to save your life, then it's not called a suffix sakana. And an hour later, another balabas came. Other people came and asked the other shayla. Another balabas came and asked the exact same shayla. So he asked him, do you personally think that this may save your life? He said, yeah. He thinks that because he doesn't have any savings, and he says, he sees the anti-Semitism building up and he thinks that this may save his life. So then he said, for you, that's called the suffix sakana. So that's what the Chazon Ish quoted, that incident. Rav Chaim Moshe has a tshuva where he quotes all the classical poskim say like that also. Whenever you have an iffy situation about the future, and if it's and it's far-fetched that by the Mechal Shabbos you're going to save someone's life, so then it depends on the individual patient. If he thinks that this may save his life, if he's nervous about it, this may save his life, then it's called the suffix sakana. If the patient personally is not nervous about it, then it's not called the suffix sakana. That was in the Midbar we discussed it. In the Midbar, when they were traveling from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, so Shevet Levi performed Bris Milah, and the rest of the Shvatim did not perform Bris Milah. So how you talking to an Orthodox Rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu there? Why didn't they ask the rabbi? Who's doing the right thing? So the Gemara says that the weather conditions were such that it wasn't healthy to perform Bris Milah. There was a shtickel suffix sakana. So how come he allowed Shevet Levi to perform Bris Milah? So the answer is, it wasn't anywhere near 50-50. It was 1%. It was a 0.5% suffix sakana. So what's the din if you have a 0.5% suffix sakana? So the halacha says it depends on the patient. Here the patient is an infant, 8 days old. So it depends on the parents who are in charge of the patient. If the patient or the one in charge of the good health of the patient is concerned, then I think that this may be a suffix sakana, then it's called the suffix sakana. So you're not allowed to perform the bris milah. And if the parents are not nervous about it, they have more bitochen, they're not nervous. It's so far-fetched that it doesn't concern them, then it's not called a suffix sakana. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't take a stand, because they were right and they were right. Shevet Levi had more bitochen, so that it's not for them, it's not called a suffix sakana. For the other Shvatim, it was called a suffix sakana.
All the other
Shvatim
were nervous?
That's how the Gemara says, all the Shvatim were nervous, yeah. As Brischa Yinsaru goes on Shevet Levi, they were the only ones who performed the Bris Milah in the Midbar. And when they came into Eretz Yisrael in days of Yishuv Benun, it says they did in Gilgal, they did a big Bris Milah for all the people who hadn't had a Bris Milah in the Midbar.
But it's different also.
Oh, so the Chazanish said,
if I'm nervous, but the guy next door is going to have his lights on, I'm still nervous.
Right, so here the Chazanish said, if any one person in the village is nervous, then everybody has to turn out the lights. You can't say the one who's nervous should turn out the lights, the other guy not. One guy's going to leave the lights on, so I'm going to die. That means if anyone in the village is nervous, everybody has to turn out the lights, because then it makes it into a suffix sakana. Right. I didn't say the end of the psak, yeah. Rav Chaim Moisek quotes that the classical poskim write like that. If it's nowhere near 50-50, so then unless it's utterly ridiculous, the chasam sa echad mini alef alfi alof. One chance out of a million. That's not called suffix sakana. Even if the fellow's nervous, you give him a tranquilizer, you tell him it's not a suffix sakana. That's called butla daita itzel das called bani odom. But if it's within a reasonable range, then it depends on each person, whether he personally is nervous or not. So that's what Rav Huna, that's what Rababa asked the kasha of Rav Huna. How can you say you don't have to be concerned? Shema b'makam, maybe there was a nekev, the b'nei me'ayim, before the fox was nibbling, here you have a tesefta that you are concerned. Maybe a snake bit into it. Maybe there's poison on Malay. So Rav Huna answers, what's a tzushta? Mikom medames isur l'sakanta. Suffix sakana, even if you have a rave, even if it's the odds are 99-1, it's only 1% chance of a suffix sakana. The Gemara says you don't go bust a rave. Lehochel b'pikoch nefashis achara rave. You have to be choshish for the miut. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to be machman on this. And they say, no, I don't want to be mechal Shabbos. It's a shvichas damim. You have to be mechal Shabbos if you're nervous about it. The Sefer Yisav Heter by the Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi. There was a Rabbeinu Yoina Hasfardi, the mechutna of the Ramban. That's Rabbeinu Yoina Brachas and the Shari Tshuva. Then you have the Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi, who never quotes from the Chachmei Svar. He only quotes Rashi and Balei HaTosfos. And when you learn Yoreh Deh, every page in Yoreh Deh, the Shach is always quoting from the Yisav Heter Ha'orach, Alav Vav Hei, the Yisav Heter of the Rabbeinu Yoina. So the whole Yisav Heter has the laws of Basa B'cholav and the laws of Treifus and the laws of Hagolah and Liban, all Yoreh Deh, everything is Yoreh Deh. And the last chapter is Dinei Pikuach Nefesh, Sakonis Nefoshes. So he quotes an incident from one of the Balei HaTosfos that he was deathly sick on Erev Yom Kippur, and the doctors thought he's probably going to die. And even if he eats on Yom Kippur, he's probably going to die. But there was a slim chance if he'll eat on Yom Kippur, maybe he will survive. The odds were that he's probably going to die even if he eats. But there was a slim chance that if he eats, he may survive. So he paskened on himself, ein sofik mitzim midei vaday. Since the rov is that he's going to die, and it's only a slim chance that he's going to survive, so he's not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. And lo and behold, he died. He fasted and he died. So all about he. The Sisa the Heter quotes, all of Balei HaTosfos said that Doma Berosho, he did Shaloi Kedin. Even though it was a far-fetched chance that by eating on Yom Kippur he may save his life, they said he was Mechuyev to eat on Yom Kippur. And the Midas Chasidus not to violate Yom Kippur was a Midas Shtus. It wasn't Kedin. It was, he quotes the name of the Balei HaTosfos, and he says all of Balei HaTosfos said he did Shaloi Kedin. He committed suicide. Whenever there's any slight suffix sakana, even a sfek sfek of a suffix sakana, so you mechuyev to be concerned about it, even to the extent of being mechal Shabbos and violating Yisur Eter. So that's where Rav Huna answers. No, that tosefta is because b'sofik sakone, you can't go basarayv. Amalei Rava, so Rava doesn't understand. Maishna sofik sakanta luchumre, sofik yisura nami luchumre. Sofik sakone, you go luchumre. The sofik is, so sofik deraisa luchumre there too. Truth of the matter is, what he said before was, you go basarayv. The pasuk says, acharam lahatas. Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. So the original pasuk in its context goes on a Moshe Bezin. If you have a Bezin of 23 for Dinin Nefoshes, a Bezin of 3 for Dinin Mamunus and Malkus, and it's a split vote in the Bezin, so the Torah says, acharam lahatas. You go basarayv in the vote in the Bezin. Also included in the pasuk, acharam lahatas, is, if you have a suffix, whether something is kosher or treif, so you go basarayv, right? Behemis kshavis, so you have a right to go basarayv. So the Torah says you go basarayv. That pasuk acharam lahatas doesn't apply b'makom sakana. That's the Gemara in Yuma. That's the Gemara in the end, the last daf in the first perek in Ksuvas. The Gemara says lehoch bebikoch nefashis acharayv. The same Gemara appears at the end of Yuma. The same discussion. And Tosis says it's all. Tosis writes in Bava Basra and Ksuvas, it's all based on the pasuk v'chai bohem. The Tanoim had different psukim in the last parak in Yuma. The Gemara has a whole sugya, geita deka, ganze sugya. Where is the marker in the chumash that pikoch nefesh is decha kol atarakula? So one Tana has one marker, another Tana has another marker. Each Tana has a different marker. How do you know that pikoch nefesh is decha Shabbos is decha kol atarakula? Then after all the Tanoim say their piece, comes along Shmuel. Shmuel is an Amoira, a Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Nasi, first generation of Amoraim. We have a pasuk v'chai b'hem, v'chai b'hem v'lo she'amus b'hem. So the Gemara has a comment. Shmuel's drasha hit the spot, and his is the correct drasha. All the others teignish. All the other makaris that the Tanaim gave only cover part of the case, doesn't cover all the cases. Shmuel's drasha v'chai b'hem v'lo she'amus b'hem covers all the cases. So Tosis points out v'chai b'hem v'lo she'amus b'hem mishum ha'ifim mishum inyan. That's how you know that sofik and svek sveike of Sakonis Nefashis is Decha Kol HaTarkula, and even if the Reib is that he's going to die anyway, or the Reib is going to live anyway, Lehocha B'Pekuach Nefashis Sachar HaReib, we're not supposed to follow Reib, because V'chai B'hem Elo Shiyam is B'hem B'shum Eifim, B'shum Inyan. That's all included in that Drasha V'chai B'hem. Right, so one Tana, this all the Tanoim gave different reasons. So one Tana said, based on the pasuk, "Ushamer Merei Yisrael Sar Shabbos," you have to invest in the future. Chalal Olav Shabbos Achas Kadei Sheishma Shabbos Asarbi. So we don't paskan like that. We paskan v'chai bohem. So even if it's only chayisho, let's say the fellow is in the throes of death on Shabbos, and there's a way to extend his life for a couple of hours, and he'll be able to talk to his children. To extend his life, and he's a coma, and you're not going to get anything out of it. So it's just, you don't accomplish anything. That's an ishken mitzvah, just extend. Once the person is already a geisa, so it's an shulchan aruch, there's no mitzvah to extend his life. But if the person is dying and he wants to daven mincha, he wants to live another, he wants to talk to his children. So if you can extend his life and it'll be meaningful, then we say that that's permissible, and you're right, it's not based on chalal of Shabbos achas. We don't accept that reason. The real reason is v'chai b'hem alo she'amus b'hem. V'chai b'hem, you extend even chayisho, even just to extend one's life a little bit, if it's going to be meaningful. Stam, the fellow is in a state of gesisa, and you're just going to extend his life a little bit. Not going to, he's in a coma. He's not going to accomplish anything. So that's no mitzvah. Says Shulchan Aruch, that's not a mitzvah to extend life. After the Stipler passed away, they published a collection of letters that he wrote. Because after the Stipler was a brother-in-law of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish's family had up his 12 or 13 children. So all the boys and girls. So all the boys were Rabbanim, some bigger than the others, and all the daughters were married to Rabbanim. So he read the Shidduch with his sister. His sister should marry the Stipler. So they were brothers-in-law. So after the Chazon Ish passed away, they published a collection of letters written by the Chazon Ish, because the Chazon Ish had such a beautiful original style Hebrew, charming style, and even if he's attacking the Medina, but he writes it in such a beautiful Hebrew that it's pleasant to read, even if you don't like what he's saying, but it's very pleasant to read. The Stipler passed away, so they did the same thing. The Stipler's Hebrew was not so fancy. He has a very rough style. When he writes against the Medina, it's very rough. He doesn't have such a flowery style. So in the first volume, they called it Krayna de Igarta. reading the letters. So in the first volume of the Krina di Garta, the collection of letters of this stipler, so somebody asked him about extending life when a person is holding by the end extending life. So he writes in the letter, when we were young little children, it was ingrained in our minds that the Jewish position always is, you always extend life. Then we got a little older and we learned Gemara Nedarim, and there's a Ran on Daf Mem Nedarim on the top. The Ran shows from the Gemara Ksubas that it's not so. Then we got a little older and we learned Yeridaya, so it says for sure it's not so. There's not always a mitzvah to extend life. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. And he says, look in Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't give you the answer. He just says, but we were trained as little children is not always correct. A lot of times there's no mitzvah to extend life. The Ran says, based on the Gemara, in the end of Ksubas, that's the Sugya of Ashkafta, the Rebbe. The Gemara has a whole description. The last few days when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi finally passed away. So they were davening he should have a refuah shleima. And then the woman, the maid in Rebbe's home, said they should stop davening. And sometimes it's a mitzvah to daven that the person should die if the person is suffering. Sometimes it's you're not allowed to kill him. Mercy killing is not allowed, but you're allowed to ask the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to take the person's life. He's suffering so much. I ask the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to have rachmanis on. A lot of times they come to the yeshiva, they want us to be mispalel for a chayla. So if the person is mamish, a goner, so what are you asking the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to make a miracle? You're not allowed to ask for a nes. You can't ask for that. I remember the first time I visited Eretz Yisrael, so we spent a few days in Bnei Brak. And the yeshiva was still in session. It was in the summertime before Tisha B'Av. So they were saying Tilim. After Mincha, they were saying Tilim for one of the married men in the Kailol who was dying from cancer. So the Mashgiach was Rav Chatzka Levenstein. He didn't want to say Tilim. Remember, in the front of the Beis Medrash, Shmuel Ozovsky was very tall. And he was standing next to Rav Chatzka Levenstein. So he leaned over. And he whispered something in his ear. And then he said Tilim. So they said later on, that Rav Chatzkel didn't want to say Tilim, you're not allowed to ask for a miracle. The doctors think that he's holding by dying. And Rav Shmuel Razovsky leaned over, he said, no, he has the same degree cancer that Pliny had, and Pliny pulled out of it. They succeeded in treating him, with Derech HaTeva. So the Mashgiach said, okay, then he's going to say Tilim, if it's possible, with Derech HaTeva, to get better. So if they come to the yeshiva, they ask us to say Tilim Mamish, a person is holding by the end. So it's questionable if you're allowed to say, ask the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to give her a refuah shleima, shlach refuah shleima to the person. So what you should ask is, the Baruch Shalom should have Rachmanis on him. Sometimes the Rachmanis is to let him die sooner, and sometimes Rachmanis is to let him live longer. The Baruch Shalom knows what the Rachmanis is, which direction the Rachmanis is. So here's the Gemara, Rav Taina is against Rav Huna. Why do you tell me, Maishna Sofik Sakanta L'chumre? You say, by a Sofik Sakanigo L'chumre, because he may die. Sehitaina Safik Isura Nami Luchumra Sveka Daraisa Luchumra also. No tushta, we're talking where there's a rive against it. But Loihochabi Bikoch Nefashis Achar Harive, even though the rive is that there's no poison over here, you have to be concerned about the miut possibility. You don't go basarive because Vachai Bahem Aloshiamas Ben Mishumai from Mishumini. Hashani came by Isa Vihata, you do go basarive. So it's strange that said that Rav, the Gemara is going to explain that Rav is Taina is Nishken Taina. We pass like Rav Huna, that by Pikok Nefashis, you're more Machmer. You don't go Basarav, but you do go Basarav. So the Gemara is going to explain that what Rav Huna said is correct. The Mesilas Yesharim has a famous mashal when he speaks about Safik Deraisa Lechumra. He says, if you would have a drink and there's a suffix, if it has any poison in it, you would drink it. Of course you wouldn't drink it. It may be poisonous. You may die. So if you have a suffix, if it's kosher or treif, if it's treif, it's also poison. It's not poison to the goof. You're not going to drop dead, but it's poison to the neshama. The Mesilas Yesharim is assuming that Iser Deraisa, Macholas Asuris, is an Iser Heftza. It has properties, supernatural, spiritual properties, that when a non-Jew eats it, it doesn't have any effect. When a Jewish soul is eating macholas asuras, it'll explode. It'll have a negative effect.
But we
still say bottom of the hole, no? Yeah, Bitl Berov said there's no sakana. That's the pasuk of Acharav Lahatas includes Bitl Berov, but it was not Bitl Berov.
So he
presents it that Safik deraisa luchumra is mideraisa, because macholos asuris is like poison to the neshama. It's not poison to the goof, it's poison to the neshama. So that's...
I'm losing it. By macholos asuris, right, something is mixed in, and you still say bata v'rei. If what you're saying is to even that little bit of paper, it's a kind of... It's not getting bata v'rei altogether.
So the Torah says if it's bottle berov, so there's no sakana. Okay. If it's bottle berov, there's no sakana. There are things, there are foods that we eat that have poison in them. If you would eat it in a greater quantity, you would die.
But, that's too poison.
Okay. There are a lot of foods. There are a lot of ingredients in food that are poisonous, but they're in such an insignificant percentage, so it doesn't have a bad effect at all. So the same is true with macholos asuris. The Mesilas Yesharim works on the premise that all Isurei Torah, Macholos Asuris, are an Isa Chepze. It's a spiritual type of a poison, and it's going to have a negative effect on you, even if you didn't realize it, even B'Shegeg. Even if a person violates that, B'Shegeg has a negative effect. So he says, if you have a Safik Deraisa, of course you have to go to Chumrah. That's the Rambam says not so. The Rambam and the Ravid, both the Ravid agrees with the Rambam here, that Safik Deraisa L'Chumrah itself is only Midirabbanan. That's the there's a famous sefer that's called Shev Shmeitzer, seven long essays. Each essay has 25 chapters in it. So the Shev Shmeitzer was written by the author of the Tzitzis HaChoshen when he was only 17 years old. So the first page, the first chapter, and the first essay is about this machlokes harishonim, where the suffix deraisa lechumra is that itself a din deraisa, a din derabbanan. So the Rambam writes it's only a din mederabbanan, and the Ravid, who usually attacks the Rambam whenever he strays from the straight path, the Ravid goes along with the Rambam. That Sofik Deraisa L'chumra is only Midirabbanan. Very surprising. And Rashi and most of the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. They hold Sofik Deraisa L'chumra is a din min haTorah. So the Mesilas Yesharim was working on the assumption that Sofik Deraisa L'chumra is Sofik poison. So of course it's L'chumra. But it's really questionable. The Pashtus is like the Rambam. That the Isurei Torah are Isurei Gavra, they're not necessarily Isurei Chefza. Not necessarily Isurei Chefza. So Rav had this, Rav is surprised. Rav is talking like the language of the Mesilas Yesharim. If Safik Sakana Lechumre, so Safik Isur is also Sakana for the Neshama. How can you distinguish between? Mamish the Mashal of the Mesilas Yesharim. But we don't accept Rav here. Usually when there's Machlekes Habai V'Rav, we accept Rav's opinion, with the six exceptions of Yalkigam. Here there's a Machlekes Abai v'Rava, we accept Abai's opinion, we don't accept Rava. It's not a Machlekes in Din. All the other cases, the Gemara quotes a situation, a Machlekes Abai v'Rava. Here they're just talking Svaris. So we pass like Abai's Svara, not like Rava, and it's not listed in the Yalkigam because it's not a specific case. Omalei Abai argues back to Rava, don't you realize that there's a difference between Sofik Sakone and Sofik Yisur V'lo Shani? Don't you distinguish between Yisur La Sakanta? For what about the following case? If you have a Sofik Tumah B'Shus HaRabim, usually we have the rule Sofik Deraisa L'Chumra and Sofik Derabana L'Kula. And Sofik Deraisa L'Chumra, but if it's a Sfek Sfeka, then you go L'Kula. And by Sofik Tumah, it's governed with different rules. By Sofik Tumah we say, if it, the Sofik occurred B'Shus HaRabim, then it's Lahakel, even if there's only one Sofik, you go Lahakel. And if it's Sofik Tumah B'Shus HaYachid, you go Lahachmer, even though you have a Sfek Sveka Lekulam. Kol Sveka Shatiyach HaLaharvisolav, you go Lechumra on everything. Even if it's a Sfek Sveka, you go Lechumra. So that's what Abai argues. How can you equate Sofik Isura to Sofik Sakanta? To ha'ilu sofik tumah b'shus harabim sveka tohor, but a sofik sakana you never go l'kula. You see that sometimes you go l'kula by sofik yisaveta. We the sofik my megulim you're not allowed to drink in the days of the Gemara, in the days of the Talmud, because the nechashim were mitzuyim, snakes were all over the place, and there was a concern that maybe one of the snakes spit some poison into this. My megulim, if you have water in a bottle so the snake can't squeeze into the bottle, can't open up the cap. But if it's a bowl of water that's exposed, you can't tell, so maybe a snake took a sip and spit some poison into the water, so you're not allowed to drink it. So you see that a sofik sakona is lechumra, sofik my megulim asurim, and a sofik tumah b'shus harabim sveka tahor. So you see that you distinguish between Safik Isura and Safik Sakana. Amalei, so Rabbi says, no, you didn't prove anything. That's a special halacha l'moshe misina. Awesome. Hilchasa Gmeri law. That's halacha l'moshe misina. You learn that misoita. That what? Ma soita b'shut sayochid, sveka tome, sveka l'chumra, aptumba b'shut sayochid is l'chumra, but if it would be b'shut sarabim, it would be l'kula. What does he say? What are you learning out from Saita? What are you learning out from Saita? The husband is suspicious of his wife. He thinks she's having an affair with someone else. So we learned Masecha Saita. So if the husband is suspicious that his wife has gone to the movies with the next door neighbor, they're holding hands, or they're kissing, or they're dancing together, she doesn't become Asur Al Baila. If he's suspicious that he thinks that she was Mizana, and he warns her, Altistri in Mishplaini, so that's Kinui. There's Kinui Yistir. We learned the first Mishnah in Saita. There's Kinui Yistir. Kinui means he's Masra Bish, that he warns her. Altistri Mish Plaini means you're having an affair. I think you're having an affair. You're being Mizana with Plaini. Stop it. And then she doesn't listen to the husband, and she does Stira. She stays alone with the other person. So if you have Kinui Yistir, the husband doesn't know whether she was Mizana or not. He just is suspicious. So the Torah says he's also to live with his wife until he brings it to the Beis HaMikdash, and he goes through the whole procedure, the whole ceremony, the parsha of Mayim HaMorim. If she drinks the Mayim HaMorim and everything is fine, she doesn't get sick, she doesn't turn yellow, she doesn't seem to be sick. So then it says, V'nikah ha'ish me'ovim. Then he's allowed to live with his wife. The Torah promises a miracle li'olam void. Whenever a man brings his wife to the Beis HaMikdash, according to all the conditions of the parsha Saita, they're allowed to be married together. They have a permissible marriage. If they have a prohibited marriage, Torah doesn't promise the miracle. But if they have, a kohen is married to a grusha, so they're not allowed to live together anyway. So the Torah does not promise the miracle there. But if it's a marriage that's permissible and the husband is suspicious that his wife is having an affair, and he brings it to the Beis HaMikdash, and she drinks the Mayim HaMorim, and she doesn't turn color, she doesn't begin to get sick, so that's, the Torah promised this Nais, that she, there's no reason why she should get sick. There's no poison in the Mayim HaMorim. It's just, you take Mikarka Mishkin, you mix in a little bit of sand. It doesn't taste good, but it's not poisonous. So there's no reason that she should get sick. So the Torah says that that's a Bira Vadai. So that's, so in the Parsha it says, when you have a, what's the definition of Bishus HaYochid versus Bishus HaRabim? So this Tosis quotes from Nozir Daf Nun Zayin. And those are Daf Nun Zayin. The Gemara says the definition of Bishus HaRabim is if you have three people near each other. If you have two people over there and one person on the other end, that's not called Bishus HaRabim. That's not called Bishus HaRabim. But if you have either Bishus HaRabim means in the street, literally Bishus HaRabim, you go Lekula in either if it's Mamish in the Bishus HaRabim, or if it's in a Bishus HaYochid, but there are three people together, that's also considered a Bishus HaRabim. Where did they get this definition of Bishus HaRabim, three people together? They got it from Saito. The husband is choshed that his wife is having an affair, and he says, Altistri Mishploni. So if the wife goes to a birthday party of a next door neighbor, and there are 150 people there, and the Ploni is there also, so that's not called Stira. Stira means that she was alone with the Ploni, with the man that he's choshed her, that she's having an affair, she was alone with him. So if you have two people alone inside the house, that's called Bishus HaYochid. If you would have had three people, if two people are there and one person in the other corner, that's Vayter Bishus HaYochid. But if the three people are near each other, then that's called Bishus HaRabim, that's not called Stira. So the Torah says that the husband, the wife is married to the husband for the last 25 years, so she's Beches Kasetet to the husband. Now the husband is suspicious, he thinks she was having an affair. So he should tell off the Cheskas Heter. She was Materis Labaila for the last 25 years, we should assume. She's still Materis Labaila. Why all of a sudden does she become Asura? So the answer is because the Torah says if there was Kini Astira, so the Pasuk uses a strange verb. Vinitma. Vihilo Nitma. Vinitma means she was Mazana. Lo Nitma means she was not Mazana. Why does the Chumash use such a verb, Vinitma? That's not the correct verb to use. It should say vizinsa. Vizinsa, loizinsa. The Torah uses the verb vinitmoa to allude to the din that not only is it a suffix soita, if there's kinestir, not only suffix soita, is asura b'taras vaday to the husband, a suffik tuma b'shus hayachid in similar conditions. There's only two people in the house. It has the status of a b'shus hayachid. That from here you learn out that suffik tuma b'shus hayachid is l'chumer. The basic pasuk is telling me that kinei astira is l'chumer. Suffik soita, that's soita suffik. Soita v'adai means if we have two witnesses, we know v'adai the woman had an affair. That's called soita v'adai. Soita suffik means we don't know one way or the other. The husband is suspicious of his wife. He warned her, kinei lo, he was masra b'yishtoi, v'nistro. So kinei lo v'nistro, kinei astira, that's called the soita suffik. And the soita suffik is asura b'toras v'adai. Why? That's the pasuk. He's not allowed to live with his wife until she drinks for the Mayim Amorim, and that's considered a birur. So the original pasuk is talking about soita safek asur labayla, but because the verb that the Chumash chooses to use is a strange verb, it says v'nitma, v'hiloy nitma, what kind of nitma? So that's an allusion to another din, that a safek tume in the same kind of condition, if there are only two people in the room, that's called the Rishu Sayachid. Safek tume Rishu Sayachid would be l'chumra, but if it would have been masayt b'shu sayachid, tumim b'shu sayachid, but if it would have been b'shu sarabim, then it would have been lahakol. Safek tumim b'shu sarabim lahakol. Yeah. What does it mean, hilchasa gemiri la? That's a question. What is the definition of that phrase? So usually we learn, Rashi, Taisus, the Rosh, they always assume hilchasa gemiri la means halacha l'moshe misinai. It's halacha l'moshe misinai. That's a question. Is it really halacha l'moshe misinai? The Gemara says you learn it out from the psukim. Misaita, and the word v'nitma appears in the Chumash. So why does it say v'nitma? It's an awkward verb. You shouldn't say v'nitma. So v'nitma is telling me that there's another case of safik b'shus hayachid l'chumra, namely safik tuma. So why does the Gemara call it hilchasa gemiri lo? So that's what we mention on different occasions. The Netziv has an introduction to his commentary on the Shiltas. His commentary is called Haimek Shala. So the introduction is called Kidmas Haimek. The Hakdama to the Haimek Shalom. So the introduction to the commentary on the Shiltas is really an introduction to all of Torah Shebal Peh. Like the Prima Gadim's Psicha Kalelis Torah Chaim is really an introduction to all of Torah Shebal Peh. So then it seems also. He has the Shiltas with the commentary of the Netziv. He also wrote it when he was a teenager. He was very young. And it was printed in three different volumes. It has Bereishis Shmos in one volume, Vayikra in the second volume, Bamidbar Dvarim in the third volume. So originally, when the Hakdama was printed, it was printed in three installments. The first third of the Hakdama was printed in the beginning of the first volume. The second third was printed in the beginning of the second volume, and the third third, the last one. Now Mosad Rav Kook reprinted it many, many times already. So they put all the three parts of the Hakdama together. And now they printed the Hakdama separately, with the footnotes on the bottom, with Mar Mekomis, because he varps all over Midrashim and Yerushalmis and everything under the Santoseftas. He quotes so much. So he has this in his introduction. He says, the Rambam does not seem to agree with Rashi and Taisus, because the Rambam, in his Hagdama to the Pirush HaMishnayis, discusses what constitutes the Torah Shebal Peh. So he says, there are different parts of the Torah Shebal Peh. So one of the parts of the Torah Shebal Peh is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The Rambam says, there aren't so many halachas l'moshe misina, I'm going to give you a full list. And he has a short list. The tefillin have to be square, and the tefillin ritzuas have to be black. He doesn't have so many dinim there. So on the bottom of the page of the Hakdama Sar Rambam, the Pirush HaMishnayis, they refer you to a tshuva by the Chavis Yoyer. Look in the tshuva that he has so many kashas. The Rambam left out so many gemaras that are halacha l'moshe misina. Why did he fail to count so many? So the Chavis Yoyer was asking, so the Netziv points out in his Hakdama to the Shiltas, Chavis Yoyer was assuming, like Rashi Taisus in the Rosh, that every time this expression appears, Hilchasa Gemiri Lo, it also means Halacha L'Moshe Misina. So the Rambam left out so many Gemaras. It says the Rambam is very careful. Whenever the Gemara says Hilchasa Gemiri Lo, the Rambam will write, Mipi Hashmu Alamdu. The tradition has it that they figured out this din. That's not the same as Halacha L'Moshe Misina. Halacha L'Moshe Misina is HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, and the din was transmitted orally from generation to generation. The Rambam seems to have understood Hilchasa Gemiri Lo means in some earlier generation the Talmud Bavli was written, composed in the days of Ravina Rav Ashi, the end of the period of the Amoraim. So they're saying in some earlier generation, maybe 20 generations ago, before the Tkufas HaTanoim, maybe Bizman HaNeviim, maybe Bizbimei Moshe Rabbeinu, somebody developed this din based on one of the Midrash HaTorah Drash Hashem, and when they're recording it in the Gemara, they already don't remember what the derivation is. So they say, Hilchus HaGemirilah. We have a tradition, Mipi HaShmu Alamda, we have a tradition that this din was developed based on Psukim, and we don't know what the drush is. So it could be that it is not Halacha Moshe Mesinai. It's questionable because the Gemara tells you what the Makar is. You learn out from Soita. How do you learn out from Soita to Safik Tumah? Because the Chumash uses this strange verb, Vinitma. What kind of Vinitma? What does it have to do with Tumah? There is a din of Tumah. Balkari is Tumah. If a man has Tashmish with a woman, so the woman will become Paleta Shechvazah. She'll also become Tumah. But why does the Chumash use that verb Vinitma? It's talking about whether the woman was Mizana or not. The word Vinitma was chosen, that's what Rav Chaim Moshe explains in his tshuva. The word Vinitma was chosen by the Chumash to allude to this additional din. That just like Safik Saita Lechumre, despite the fact the woman has a Cheskas Heta Lebaila, they're married the Heta the last 25 years. So once you have a Safik Saita, a Kino Estira, she's Asura. What the Rami, any other Safik Tuma, Bishus HaYachid, is also Lechumre. The definition of Bishus HaYachid means if you only have two people, as opposed to three people together. And that's what the top Tesvis on Amid Beis quotes the Gemara Nazir. If you have two people in that corner, one person in the other corner, looking from a distance, that's called Bishus HaYachid. That's not called Bishus HaRam. If all three are close to each other, that's called Bishus HaRam. We learned on the first daf in Chulin, I think on Beis Amid Beis, there was a Tesvis in the Beis HaMikdash. Usually there were crowds of people. So any Sofik Tum in the Beis HaMikdash, is a building. It's a Bishus HaYachid. But if you have a crowd of people there, that's going to be a Sofik Tumah Bishus HaRabim. And Tosfos says it's going to be Lekula. That's the bottom Tosfos. The bottom Tosfos on base of the base. Afa Gavdal Zor Bishus HaRabim. Giram Per Kamer Epsachim Daf Yud Tosfos on the base. Vayilonu Letahir. Tosfos says because the base of Megdash. It's always crowded. There are always crowds of people there together. So if you have three people together, that's that Gemara and Nozer, Daf Nun Zayin. You have three people standing together, that's a Rishus HaRabim. Sofdihum Rishus HaRabim Lekula is either literally in the Rishus HaRabim, that's a Gemara in Cheskas HaBatim. Whatever is a Rishus HaRabim for Shabbos purposes is a Rishus HaRabim for Tumah purposes. And if you have three people together, then it's also a Rishus HaRabim.
Even indoors.
Also considered a Rishus HaRabim.
No,
that's this additional brand of Rishus HaRabim is only for Tumah purposes, right? So that's what Abaye says. Abaye is trying to prove we know Sofik Sakanta Lechumre, but you have it then Sofik Tuma Bishus HaRabim is Lekula. So you know, your argument is not a valid argument. Rabbi says, like the Mesillas Hashem, Rabbi is arguing any Sofik Yisr is a Sofik Sakanta. It should be the same as the Mamish Sakana to the Neshama, Sakana to the Nefesh. So Abaye says it's not correct. You see that it's a din of Sofik Tuma Bishus HaRabim is Lekula. Amalei, so Rabbi says, well, that's an exception to the rule. Amalei, Rabbi says, no, don't bring a rife from Sofik Tumah Bishus HaRabim. That's an exception to the rule. But basically, the rule is the same. Sofik Deraisa Lechumer, Sofik Sakanta Lechumer. So why should you ignore the rive over here and not ignore the rive over there? It should be the same. Rabbi Halzach by Zainz. He doesn't see the Rav Huna's comment is correct. He doesn't agree with Abaye. He says, Sofik Tumah Bishus HaRabim Lekula is a Yotzim, and Aklal doesn't prove anything. He still sticks to his guns that Sofik Sakon and Sofik Isuri should be the same. Masa Rav Simi, so Rav Simi going to ask another kasha, the same as Abaye is asking against Roma. This is already a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah that says what? Sheretz Befi HaChulda, a dead Sheretz. The Chumash says that there are Shmoina Shratzim, there are 10 specific rodents that when they're dead, they're metami b'maga. A dead nevela, nivlas behema v'chaya, is metami b'maga u'bimasa. A dead mouse is only metami b'maga. It's not metami b'masa. Let's say I wear gloves when I pick up the mouse and throw it in the garbage, or I pick up the mouse trap without touching the mouse. I pick up the wooden part of the mouse trap, so that's masa, but that's not maga. So a dead mouse is one of the shmona shvatzim. It's only metami b'maga if you literally touch it. If you're wearing gloves or you're holding it with this, with the wooden mousetrap, that's masa, that's not matami. If you pick up a package of non-kosher meat in the A&P, even though it's wrapped up, there's no maga, but that's masa. So nivlas behema v'chayz matami b'maga b'masa. If it's a dead human being, a kazayis man ames. Metami not only b'maga m'masa, it's metami also ba'ohel. You just walk in the same room, it's metami ba'ohel. Adam kiyam is ba'ohel, but that's the machlekes hatanaim in the end of Bab Mitzia and the Mishnayis. Does it only apply to Meis Yisrael or even to Meis Yaakov? So Reb Shimon Bar Yochai insists, Atem kriyim Adam, ve'enum esayelum kriyim Adam. When it says, Adam kiyam is ba'ohel, a dead Adam is metami ba'ohel, that's only a Jewish person. A Meis Nochri is only metami like a nivlas nevela, nevela of a behemah v'chai, it's only metami b'magam b'masa. And the Chachamim disagree with Reb Shimon. They hold that even Meis Yaakov also metami ba'ohel. That's machlekes Tosfos and the Rambam. Tosfos says we should paskin like the Chachamim. That Yochid v'Rab Malachi k'Rab, we should paskin Meisei Akam Amitami Boil. And the Rambam paskins like Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. The Meisei Akam are not Mitami Boil. Yeah. So he asks the following kashim. Also, Reb Simi quotes a Mishnah. You have a dead sheretz, and you have a chulda, a weasel is alive, jumping around, dancing around. Sheretz b'fi ha-chulda. The chulda holding in its mouth this dead mouse, and is jumping around, dancing around. The chulda mahalechas al gabi koresh al truma. And the chulda is jumping around on top of loaves of truma. So when you chase away the chulda, even though the chulda was jumping around with a dead mouse, the kohen is prepared to eat the kikoresh al truma. The mice were jumping on it. He's not worried about the sanitary condition. That's not the concern. The only concern is maybe the dead sheres touched the kikoresh al truma. The chulda was jumping around. The chulda is alive, so the chulda is not metame. But maybe the dead sheretz that's in its mouth, b'fi ha-chulda, sheretz b'fi ha-chulda, in the mouth of the chulda, maybe the chulda leaned over and the dead sheretz touched the kikora shel truma's metame. So you don't know whether it's metame or not. So what's the din of a sofik tuma? What's the din of a sofik tuma? Sofik noga, sofik like noga. So the din is sveka tohar. You go l'kula. You see that you go l'kula. Be the sofik maimagula masurim. So don't you see that Sofik Sakona in Lechumra, even though Sofik Yisura is Lekula? Same argument that Abai brought before. So Rabbi gives the same answer. Just like Sofik Tumba Bishus HaRabim, Sveika Tohar, Takzeris HaKosim, Hilchus HaGmirilo, so too Sofik Tumba Bishus HaYochid is Lekula if it's a Dova Shein Bodas Lishoel. Here the Sofik is whether the Kikorish Al Truma were Mekabal Tumba. If, let's say, the Gemara has a case, I was walking in the street, and there are bodies all over the place. I'm walking, I bump into one body, it's dark at night and no lights. Then in the morning we find out that some of those bodies are dead. I don't know whether I touched the dead body. Some of them are alive, some of them are dead. Let's say the bums on the Bowery. Some are alive and some are dead. So I was walking, I was kicking by accidentally. I was moving some of the bodies. I don't know if they were alive or dead. So that's Bishus HaRabim in the middle of the street. So Sofik Tumah of Bishus HaRabim is Sveika Tohar. So the Dovah HaMakabal Tumah, we're discussing the person. We're discussing, was I Makabal Tumah? So a person is bardas, he's a yesh bardas if he's an adult. If he's a little infant, then the baby is considered ein bardas l'shul, has no seichel. Or if the dov hamakabel tuma, you're discussing whether kikara shel truma, whether the lobes of bread are dov shein bardas l'shul. The lobes of bread have no seichel, like a little infant doesn't have seichel. So if you have, whenever the suffix is on a person who's yesh bardas l'shul, then we say that suffix tuma b'shus ayochid l'chumra. Because you're learning out from Saita. What's the suffix? Did the woman have an affair with this man or not? They may not tell us the truth. We don't want to believe them. But they're yesh bodas l'shul. They're intelligent people, and they know whether they had an affair or not. So since you're learning out the whole definition of b'shus hayochid, b'shus harabim from Saita, so we only say suffix tumah b'shus hayochid l'chumre when the one we're discussing is the isha, she's an intelligent woman. Yesh badas l'shul. If the woman would be a tipeshes, the woman would be a shaita, cher shaita the cotton, she wouldn't become asur al abayla if she would have an affair, even if she's mezana beratzen. The Gemara says because pita k'tano einasu. If the girl is an eshes ish, let's say the father married his daughter off, and she's not bas mitzvah yet, then she has an affair b'mezid on purpose. So the Gemara says she doesn't become asur al abayla. because since Akhtana is a lot Bazdas, so that's considered like Nensa. Eshes Isha Nensa is Materis Levaila. So you're talking about the Parsha of Soita, you only say the woman becomes Asura Levaila if she's Yepadas. If she's a Bazdas, she's already a Gdaila. So since you're learning out the definition of Rishus Rab Mishus HaYochid from Soita, so you only say if the Dover HaMakabal Tumah, we're discussing whether the woman is Asura Baila. So what the Nami, if it wouldn't be a case of Soita Asura Baila, you're discussing whether the person was Makabal Tumah. So if I was walking in between the bodies, and then in the morning they find out half of them are dead, half of them alive, and I don't know whether I touched the dead body or not, That's a suffix tumor. It depends whether it's b'shusay. Mishnah says it depends. Was it in the house? It's b'shusay yachid. Was it out in the streets? It's b'shusay rab. But if the thing that we're judging on akikorish al truma davashem b'das lishol. So even if it happened, even if the suffix tumor was b'shusay yachid, it's still galakula. Because the whole yafusa that suffix tumor b'shusay yachid l'chum is only learned that from soita. And the Saita of the woman is a Basdas. If she would be a La Basdas, it wouldn't be a Din of Saita. Because Pita Ktana Einesu. So that's what Rava says. Rava says, what are you talking? Hasan Nami Hilchasag Mirila Misaita. My Saita Davish Yesh Badas Lishol of Achanam, Davish Yesh Badas Lishol. Rava says, you didn't slug up what I said. I still stick to my guns. That Sofik Isser is identical with Sofik Tumah. Because like the Mashal of the Mesilas Hashem, Sofik Isser is like a Sofik poison. So you always have to go to Chumra. And that's a Yotzim and Aklal. The Chumash says, Safik Tuma B'shus HaRabim is Lahakil, and Safik Tuma B'shus HaYachid, if the Dova HaMakabal Tuma that we're discussing is Kikorish Al Truma, Ein Bodas Nishol, it's not a Bardas, or if it's an infant, a little baby, Ein Bodas Nishol, so it's Akzeris HaKosav, you go to Kula. But you didn't slug me up.
What does the Das Nishol have to do with it? I mean, you don't ask her, I mean, you have a Das Nishol.
Yeah. We don't believe her.
Right,
the woman's going to tell you. But still, that's the Xeris HaKosov. The whole din of Sofik Tumah B'shus HaYochid Sveik HaTomi is only if the thing that we're judging on is a person who's a Bardas. We're judging whether the woman is Asura Baila, whether the person was Mekabel Tumah. But if you're judging whether the bread was Mekabel Tumah, bread is Ein Bodas Nishol, so it always has the cool of Sofik Tumah B'shus HaRab. That's the Gemara. So Rava sticks to his guns. He doesn't agree with Abai. He doesn't agree with this one, Rav Sheshes, who is the Moshe Rav Simi. He doesn't agree with Rav Huna. He still insists that he doesn't see a difference between Sofik Sakona and Sofik Isur. So the Gemara says, Vaita Toshma, what is this? A Mishnah? There's a Mishnah. What's the din? There's a din of Maim Chaim. What's Maim Chaim? There's rainwater that comes down. The pasuk says, "Ach, if a person is tamei, there are two ways to become tahor: either you toivel in a mikveh or you toivel in a mayon." That's a pasuk. Ach mayon a bar mikveh mayim yeh tahor. I think it's a parsha shmini. It means if a person is tamei, he can either be toivel in a mayon or toivel in a mikveh. Mikveh means rainwater or snow. The water, all the water. The tanoim knew that there's a water cycle. All the water comes from the sky. They knew the water comes down, the water goes up, the water comes down. They knew it wasn't the Gemara in Tainus talks about the water cycle. But still, if the water that came down from the sky went under the ground long enough, and then it shoots up from a fountain, so that's a new din. That's called a mayon. So a mayon is metaher even bezeichlin when it's moving. And if it's not a mayon, if it's, let's say, melting snow on the side of the mountains, or rains, pouring rains rolling down the mountain, and you have a big ton of water that has aboim saw, so that's no good. And the Mishnah says you can't be toivel behardalis. Hardalis means on the side of the mountain, the waterfalls. It has to be stagnant. The word mikveh means kovah b'kaimah. Yikovah hamayim. Tachas hashamayim al mokam echad. Let the water gather together. So the word mikveh means kviyah v'kaimah, it should be standing still. A mikveh is only metahar be'eshborin. Eshbar means if you have a shever, you have a crack in the ground, and the water is stagnant. But if the water is a river that's flowing, so that's no good, unless the source of the river is from an underground fountain, from a mayon. So then if it's flowing, that's normal. A mayon is good. It's always going to be that's zeichlin. So zeichlin is no good if you're using rainwater. Megishamim, That's called notvim. If you're using a mikveh, notvim means rainwater, a melted snow, so it's no good bezechlin. And zechlin is good if it's from a mayon. So the Gemara says every river is a blend. Part of the water is going to be from under the ground sources, the ocean. A lot of the water is going to be from underground sources, and a lot of the water is going to be from the rain and the snow. The ocean is gigantic. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah say, you always judge it based on the roiv. If Rabu notvim ala zochlim, if there's more rainwater, you have to determine what season of the year you're holding by. You have to know the mitzvah. So if roiv of the water comes from the rain or the snow, then it's no good bezochlim. And if the roiv of the water, Rabu zochlim ala notvim, if roiv of the water comes from the mayon, from under the ground, then the whole thing is considered a mayon, and it is metaher bezochlim. So that's called Maim Chaim. That's Maim Chaim is Mei Mayon. Is there ever a din that you require Davke Maim Chaim? So the Chumash says, Azav, all the other Tameim have a Brera. Anybody's Tameh has a Brera to be Tovel, Ach Mayin Abar Mikveh Mayim. You have an option. You can either be Tovel and a Mikveh, but Tovel and a Mayim. Except for Azav. Azav says, Beferish, Verachetz Besar B'Mayim Chaim. Azav has to be Tovel Davke in a Mayon, and he doesn't have an option to be Tovel in a Mikveh. Rashi in a few places in Shas quotes from the Goinim who had a Chumra that a Zava also has to be Tovel Amayim Chaim. That would make life very difficult for us because we have a Chumra that all of the women are considered like a Zava. In our Torah, the woman is not a Zava, she's a Nida. A Zava is when the Dam comes below Es Nidosa. And when the Dam comes normally, Beis Nidosa, then she becomes a Nida. So we are machmer, every woman who's a Nida needs Shivinikim. Shivinikim is only for a Zava. So we treat all the women as a suffix Zava. So in a few places in Shas, Rashi says, all the women have to be Tovel and a Mayon. Because we machmer with the Rabbana to treat all the women as a Zava, suffix Zava, so you need Maim Chaim. And in the other places, Rashi says, the Goyna made a mistake, because there's a Beferish of Tosefta and Megillah. When it lists off in the first parak, Ein Bein Koy Mashoch, the Kohen Merubah B'Gadim, and Ein Bein Adarishan Lo Adarsheni, and Ein Bein Mitzor Muchlot, and Mitzor Muzga, the whole Ein Bein Shilo Yerushalayim, all the listings of the Ein Beins, so the Tosefta has more Ein Beins. So the Tosefta says, Ein Bein Zav L'Zava, Zav and Zava both need Shivanikim, and they both have to bring Karbonis after the Toivo. So Ein Bein Zav L'Zava, Ela Shehazav Ton Maim Chaim, so it's a Beferish of Tosefta against the Goyim. So Rashi in around five places quotes the Goyim and he leaves it like that, that all the women today have to be Tovel in a Mayon. In Mansi, they have a couple of Bechsinim, they have a couple of Mikvois where the women are Tovel in a Mayon. Rabbi Tendler said that it's healthier. He says he took samples of the water from many different Mikvois and he says if it's a Mikveh where the water is covered with Kaimi, so if 20 women use the mikveh, it has everybody's germs. So it's full of germs. And if it's a mayon, it's going to be flowing all the time. So it's changing, so it's going to be healthier. So the question is whether you really need that alpidin. So the goyim came up with this chumrah, and then Rashi in around four or five places says it's against the nafin at Tosefta. The halach in Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote that chumrah. They don't quote it. We don't pass it. It's against the Tosefta. Ramban HaChumash quotes the goyim, and he says it's against the Tosefta. Ramban says,
"Those who had water coils."
Ah, yeah, they probably warm it up. Yeah, So when does the halacha require Mayim Chaim? When do you require Mayim Chaim? So a zav needs Mayim Chaim; he can't be tovel in a mikveh. When else do you need Mayim Chaim? When you make a paraduma. So it says you have to take Mayim Chaim el keli. You can't take, you can't just draw water from a bore, from a reservoir. A reservoir is not Mayim Chaim. You have to draw the water from the ocean. You have to take the water from a mayon. So what? Let's say you drew the water from a mayon and you had a bucket and you left it outside, and then it rained at night, and the rain, part of the rain fell into the bucket. The rain is not Mayim Chaim, so you cannot use this. If you're going to mix in the ashes from the paraduma, that is nishtaken. Because when you sprinkle the water on someone, you don't throw a half a bucket of water. You want to use it a million and one times. You don't want to keep on making another paraduma every day. So you make a paraduma, you burn it, you take the ashes, you throw a speck of ashes into a big barrel full of water, and then you have meipara to be mitar many people in the last for 100 years. So if you're going to throw a whole half a bucket of water on someone, so you're going to use up all the water, so you just use it sparingly. You just zorik a little bit. Hazor shlishi shvi, that the person should. You have to sprinkle paraduma water on him the third day after he touched the mace, and the seventh day after, and then he's able to go to mikveh. Then when he goes to the mikveh after hazor shlishi shvi, then he becomes tohor. So if you left the bucket, you drew the water maim chaim in a bucket, so it's maim chaim al keli. Then if you leave it open and it rains in it, so. And then later on, when you're going to sprinkle the mei pora on an adam tamei, it may turn out you're only sprinkling the rainwater. So that's no good. So that ruins the whole thing. That's how this Mishnah says. Yorad batal balaylo. Here, the second line from the bottom. Osha yorad by the tiny letter dalet in the Gemara. If yorad batal balaylo, if it rained or dew fell in at night, psulo. So you can't use the water because it's not all maim chaim al keli. So this, the Mishnah Pora starts off like this. Tzluchis, you have a container. Shehinicha megula. He drew water from a mayon and he left it open. And he left it home and he locked the door. Then he comes home and he finds, he remembers he left it megula. He comes home, he sees there's a lid on. Who put the lid on? Obviously a person put the lid on. Let's say he has dogs and cats running in, running out. They had all kinds of animals running around. The animals don't have enough seichel to know how to put a lid on top. The animals know how to knock off a lid. If I left it mechutze and I find that the kisa is off, it's not necessarily a ride that a person came in. It could be an animal jumped on it and he knocked off the lid. But if I left it megula and it's not mechutze, that's a ride that a person came in. I don't know who the person is. I ask around. Nobody knows. So the person, I don't know who the person is. It could be he was an adam tamei, it could be he was an adam tahor. So if he was an adam tamei, I want to use this water for par aduma. Maybe the guy stuck his finger in and he was metame all the water. Maybe he was 50-50 chance. A lot of people are tamei, a lot of people are tahor. It's approximately 50-50. Not everybody goes to mikvah and they become tamei. So the Mishnah says, tzluchis in yichat, tzluchis, I have a container. That I drew a maim chaim al keli from a mayon. And he left it megula. He comes back 5 hours later, the door is locked, the bar mitzvah mechusa. He finds that it's covered. Obviously a person came in. There's a 50-50 chance that the person was tamei, person is tohar. If the person was tamei, so teignish, maybe he stuck his finger in. So tmeo, shani yomer, have to be concerned, 50-50 chance. Adam tamei nichnas l'sham dekisa. What if I care, he nicha mechusa bo mitzvah megula, he leaves it, he comes back and he finds that the lid is off. So it's not necessarily a raya that a person came, that you have to be done 50-50, suffix, whether he was tam and tam. Maybe an animal came. So there are three possibilities. Could be an animal, could be an adam tohar, knocked off the lid, and could be an adam tome. So the two out of three possibilities are that there's no problem. So you go basarayv and you say that it's okay. So in that case, bom tzom megula, imichoy l'chulda, oh. So if there's a concern, if there's a possibility that a weasel sipped from it, or nachash di rabbi gamliel, yeah, so then it says psula. If there's a concern, what's wrong if a chulda drank from it? So Rashi has two pshat. Rashi has one pshat. The weasel has a teva that it sips water, and when it drank enough, it spits back what it didn't swallow. So if it's going to spit it back, so Rashi has two pshat. So what's the tragedy? What's wrong? So one pshat is, that's not called Maim Chaim El Keli. Originally I took the kli to the mayon and I filled it up. What if I pour the water, the mei pora, from this bucket to another bucket? This is Shainish Maim Chaim El Keli. If Herik Mikli El Kli, that's not acceptable for Paradumumat. So maybe the chulda was sipping water and then spit some of it back. So originally when it was in the container, is Maim Chaim El Keli. But when the chulda puts it in his mouth, spits it back in, it's like Herik Mikli Al Kli. This is one shot, the second shot that Rashi has. That's what Tosis likes, the second shot. Then the first shot Rashi says is that there's another halacha. If you have mei paraduma, v'nasus b'malochem, let's say I have a bucket full of water, I want to mix in ashes from the paraduma and use it to be mitar people, and then I have dirty cups, dirty dishes, and I wash them off. I dip the dirty cup, the coffee cup, in the water, and I wash it out. So maim shenasas ben malocha becomes mei shayfchim. It's like garbage. So that's not acceptable for paraduma. So the first pshat that I said was the second pshat in Rashi. And the first pshat that Rashi writes, Taisa is not so happy about it. He says maybe this is considered nasus by malach. If an animal is sipping from the container, that's considered nasus malach and all of the water in the container. So Taisa says they can't understand for the life of them why that's considered nasus by malach. The water that the animal sipped, it sipped. The rest of the water remained in the container. The animal spit it back in, so whatever it didn't drink, so it's not nasus by malach. What, the animal rinsed its mouth? If I rinse my mouth with the water and then I spit it back in, that's called nasus by malach. But the animal isn't interested in rinsing its mouth out. The animal takes the water, half of it is swallowed, the half that it doesn't swallow spits back in. So Tosfos says the chisaron is the other pshat that Rashi said. It's not mayim chayim al keli, because originally I held it by the mayon, I filled it up. Then if I pour it to another container, it's no good. So if the animal put it in its mouth and then spit it back in, that's a violation of mayim chayim al keli. So kol panim, the Mishnah says that this is a problem. You can't use such thing for por aduma water. So then let's just, I'll wind it up for tonight. We'll have to start again next time. So the Gemara says the whole time that there's an issue is, I left the bucket megula and I find it mechusa. So obviously a person came and said 50-50 chance tummy or tor. I left it mechusa and I find it megula. So it could be an animal knocked it over, it could be an adam tom, it could be an adam tor. So the odds are 2-1 that there's no problem. There's one chance that it's an adam tome who stuck his fingers in. What if I left it megula and I find it megula? I left it mechusa and I find it mechusa. Nothing changed. So for paraduma purposes, there's no problem. Ishtalav chazaka that nothing changed. But if you would leave a bucket of water, my megulim, would you be allowed to drink it? No, my megulim is a suffix, maybe a nochash spit poison in. So you see that the exact same halacha by Hilchas Paraduma doesn't pose a problem. Suffik, it's a shtik ala suffik. And doesn't bother me. Ishtalav tachazok, and nothing changed. But my megulim, since there's a far-fetched chance that maybe a nachash spit into it, so you have to rubber, you have to admit that there's a difference between suffik sakant and suffik isura. So the Gemara says, that's all. Shema mina here, the sixth line from the top. Of Yudah Manal, Shema mina, Chamir, sakant, isur, Shema mina. That's the end of the discussion. Rav is upgefrekt. Everybody knows that. You know, there's a famous din. Chamira sakanta meisur, by sofik sakona, you don't go basarayv. The odds are that I left it megula and I find the megula. The odds are that there was no nachash. But there's a slim chance that maybe there was. So you don't go basarayv when it comes to sofik sakona. Nisa veheter, and tumah v'tar, you do go basarayv. So that's how they shlugged up Rav. Okay. We'll stop here. In this week's Sedra, the Torah has special dinim about selling real estate in Eretz Yisrael. So the Torah gives limitations, there are restrictions, what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. Why does the Rebbe Shalom give me instructions? It's my field. It's my house. Why can't I do whatever I want? The Shteit L'chumish Kili Kol Horis Ki Geirim Toshavim Atemi Modi. Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Rebbe Shalom. He's the real balabos. He has the right to restrict our bylaws, the use of the house, the use of the real estate. So the Ran and the Dorim quotes from the name of the Balei HaTosfos that based on this, he doesn't say based on this pasuk, the Sfarno says based on the pasuk, he says based on this idea, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to pay taxes. The theory behind paying taxes is that the land of America belongs to the government in America. The land of Great Britain belongs to the Queen. The land of France belongs to the King of France. The country belongs to Putin. He acts like he's the balabos. So Putin, whatever his name is, he acts like he's the balabos. So if I have a house and you want to move into my house, I have a right to charge you rent. You want to live in Great Britain, the Queen has the right to charge you rent. You don't want to pay the rent, so move out. You have no right to live there. But in Eretz Yisrael, Kili Kol Haaretz, the land doesn't belong to the king. The land belongs to the Rebbe Shalom. Baruch Shalom said, Kindalach, I want all the Yidin to live in Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Shalom gives everybody permission. Permission? He obligates us. I want everybody to live in Eretz Yisrael. So who has the right to charge? The government has the right to charge taxes. The whole theory behind Dina, the Machus Dina, that you're obligated to pay taxes, that it's a form of paying rent, because the karka belongs to the government. That's what the Ran quotes in the name of the Balei HaTosfos. You look in Shulchan Aruch, this opinion doesn't even have honorable mention at all. It doesn't appear. Shulchan Aruch, they're quoting the Rambam. Different sections of Shulchan Aruch are based on different Rishonim. So this section, the end of Choshen Mishpat, about paying taxes, is verbatim from the Rambam. So the Rabbi Yosef Kar quotes from the Rambam, even if you live in Chutz Lortz, you also have to pay taxes. It means, lo miboy if you live in Eretz Yisrael, because it's based on the Pasuk in Sefer Shmuel. When Bnei Yisrael requested of Shmuel HaNavi that they want a king, so he read them the right act, so he said, you're going to have a king? He's going to charge taxes, and he's going to take your daughters as pilakshin, going to draft your sons in the army, he's going to charge a lot of taxes, and he tells them, you don't want a king. And they said, yeah, we do want a king. So the Gemara has a machlokes in Sanhedrin in the second perek. That's called Parshas HaMelech. The drasha that Shmuel HaNavi gave to Bnei Yisrael to try to dissuade them from the plan of appointing a king, that's Parshas HaMelech. So it's a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, all the things that he said, Kol Hamad Parshas Melech, are these the evils of the king? It's all Shaloi Kedin? Oh no, Kol Hamad Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabo. These are legitimate rights of the king, machlokes Rabbi Shmuel. So we pass on like Shmuel, that Kol Hamad Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabo. These are the rightful privileges that the king has the right to. And that's what several Rishonim and the Vilna Gaon writes. It's Shmuel Shitas. So Shmuel is the one who says Din and the Malchus Din, because Shmuel is the one who said Kol Am Parshas Melech Melech Mutabo. So the original Parshas HaMelech is about a Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael. So it says the Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael can't charge taxes. It's beferish. So that's why they quote in the Shulchan Aruch, even a Goyish king in Chutz Lortz can also charge taxes. A Yiddish king in Eretz Yisrael, Kal V'chaimer, he can charge taxes. That's the original source of Din and the Machus, of charging taxes. So in Shulchan Aruch, this is not quoted at all. The Bachim and the Yeshivas don't know that this is not even quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Everybody goes with the Ran and the Dar. They don't know what it says, the first 25 blot in the Dar, they don't know what it says, the last 50 blot. They only know there's one line in the Ran. He says, in Eretz Yisrael, you're not mechayev to pay taxes. So, but even the truth of the matter, even if you would accept what the Taisus that the Ran quoted, that you don't have to pay tax in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't apply in a democracy. It doesn't apply Bizman HaZeh. Bizman HaTalmud, Bizman HaTanoim VaAmoraim, the taxes were given to enrich the king. So you have to figure out, what's the legitimate basis? Why is the king entitled to charge me taxes? So the Taisus came up with the Ein Fal, taxes is a way of paying rent. You only have a right to live in the country belongs to the king, you want to live in the country, you got to pay rent, and that's the tax. You don't want to pay rent, so move out. It's gzela, if you don't pay, it's yegozel menas hamelech, that's how the Rambam writes. If you don't pay tax, you're cheating from the king. If you live in a democracy like America, like Eretz Yisrael, most countries in the world, the taxes are not paid to enrich the king. The government gives different services. The government purifies the water. The municipal government, the federal government delivers the mail, and then they have garbage collection, and then they have police protection, then they have a fire department, then they have an army to protect us. They have so many different services. Then they have a public school, then they have museums, then they have forests. They have so many different things. So the halacha considers all of the people who live together, who share certain needs together, as shutfim. Even though I never joined midas into the shutfis, the halacha says we live in the same community, so the halacha declares we have a din of shutfim. So there are certain things that the municipal government is responsible for, certain things that the state government takes care of, the highways, and certain things that the federal government takes care of. So al pidin, we are considered shutfim on three different levels, and when mechuyev, if you have shutfim in a business, let's say you have shutfim, we have a shoe store, and we're so successful, and everybody gets their rebach for the year. We're so successful, some of the partners decide we want to open a branch in Paris and another branch in London. We'll make three times as much money. Why should we only have a store in New York? Let's open another two stores. So, and in order to be more successful, so they say everybody should give back all the money that they, all the rebach that they earned this year, and we're going to open up another two stores. And they have 25 shutfim, and five of the shutfim don't want to. They like things the way they are. They just want to get their rebuch. They don't want to give back any money. So one person, one shutif, can always paralyze the whole shutfis. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, they quote a Tosefta, you go basarayv. The Vilna Gaon says, how do you know that you go basarayv when you have a dispute among the shutfims? That's a pasuk in Mishpatim. Achrei Rav Nahatas. The pasuk is talking about Dayonim. But we extend it to going basarayv, whether something is treif and bitl barayv. So it goes on shutfus also, you go basarayv. So if Rav of the Shutfim, let's say, Rav of the Shutfim in New York need a public school. We don't need public school. We want to send our children to yeshiva. We don't need it. But you go basarai. So since wherever the people want a public school, we're mechuyev to chip in our share also. And let's say I don't drive a car, so I don't need any highways. It's not true. I go on highways. Let's say a guy sits home. Guy sits in the base motorcycle and never travels on any highway. He never travels by plane. He doesn't need any airports. The government pays for the airport. So since the rav of the shutfim need an airport, he doesn't drink water, so he doesn't need the water purified. Whatever. He doesn't read the mail. So he does need mail delivery. But rav of the people need mail delivery. So that it's really a shutfis. It's a three-level shutfis. On a municipal level, on a state level, and on a federal level, on a national level, we're all shutfim. And whoever doesn't pay taxes is not stealing from the government. He's stealing from all the other shutfim who are paying taxes. It's a shutfis, and the rav of the shutfim win out whenever there's an issue. What should we do? How should we run the shutfis? So the chiyuv to pay taxes today is not at all based on Dina de Machus, it's not based on Shmuel Lura, it's based on Dina of shutfis. Whoever doesn't pay the taxes is not stealing from the government, it's not Gezel Akum, it's Gezel from the other shutfim, Gezel Yisrael. They're stealing from the ones who do pay tax, because there's so many people who don't pay tax, that's why those who do pay tax have to pay higher taxes. So this whole idea Bichlal doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh. Aside from the fact that the Shulchan Aruch never quoted this opinion from the Taisu, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam that even in Chutz La'aretz you have to pay tax. Kal v'chaymer in Eretz Yisrael, the original pasuk in Sefer Shmuel is about Eretz Yisrael, but Barmadein, the Taisu Bizman Hazeh wouldn't apply Bichlal, because the whole theory of taxes is totally different. It's based on an inyan of Shutus. You have to pay taxes even in Eretz Yisrael. Bottom line. Thank you.